This is KV9FLM monitoring.
KCK, you're listening. N8KTP 51 mobile. KCAKJO, sitting on my kitchen table.
What's up, bud?
Oh, just sitting here, I gotta fill up my tank for tomorrow, considering that the person that enters them into the system is off on Monday, so I had to load up the good old work laptop. So I decided to pop on my open spot and hit up 51, see who's out there. How's it going, Wally?
Pretty good. You're a tad loud. I don't know if it's on my end or your end, but sounds like you're a tad loud. So, but good, not good. Going over there to our other house, help take stuff out of the basement, because we're going to sell the house, and there's, I think I told you, there's 26 years worth of life in that basement that all's got to get taken up and sold, taken to Goodwill, or taken to the curb. So that's our plan.
That's probably loud because I was sitting right next to the mic. You should try putting some stuff on Marketplace, or where are you at now? Are you in Almont? Is that where you moved to?
No, I get married. She has a house in Macomb, 24 in Hayes. I have a house in Baltimore, and for now we're going to live together in my house and sell her house, and then probably in a year or two we're going to buy a house together. So that's our plan. But I've moved a couple times, so I don't have 25 years worth of stuff in my basement, although I did the first time. But and then the second and the third time, you find out how much of that stuff you really don't need. And as I've aged, I figured out that if it doesn't come out of the basement at least once a year, you don't need it.
I 100% agree on that one. I had a house in Sterling Heights with a 2.5-car garage. Moved out of that one after 7 years. Moved to Romeo to a little 2-bedroom bungalow with a 1-car garage. And then moved from there, moved in with a family member that had a barn. And a bunch of stuff got destroyed in there from the mice and the critters. A bunch of stuff in storage. Been filing, you know, getting rid of a bunch of storage stuff in there. Then moved here in Memphis. Had stuff down in the basement. Waterline bird, destroyed a couple boxes, went through all this stuff. I was like, we still have this? So just threw out a big, huge fit. Last week, our front lawn was just littered with old crap that we didn't need. And then, of course, put stuff up on the Marketplace and give a bunch of stuff away. So I feel you in that one.
Yeah, so that's what we're doing. Did you hear all the turmoil on 2.6 a while ago?
If that's HF, no. I have not. Why, was it good?
No, not really. Somebody was in there, like, just banging the signal, like, real, real loud, and somebody tried to correct them, and they didn't take it very well, and it escalated, so. But, so now they got to figure out, you know, because nowadays everybody can get into these repeaters a thousand different ways of Sunday, you know. They can get in them over the phone. They can get in them through All-Star. They can get it through a TV switch. They can get into them through the ham over VIP and ham shack hotline and everything else like that. So as all of this interconnectivity keeps going on more and more and more and more, you know, you start running into all sorts of opportunities. So I guess that we're working on that. So, but yeah, and now I heard Elon's coming out with a phone. I don't know if this one is or not. Elon's coming out with a cell phone before the end of the year that is basically going to run off of his satellite and not need anything. I mean, basically you buy the phone and you're in. So it doesn't need Wi-Fi, doesn't need phone, doesn't need anything. You just, I don't know what the charge is for it, but it basically talks to a low-orbit satellite. So that's going to be exciting. They're calling it the iPhone killer. We shall see.
He's basically taking government technology and turning it into public use. Because that's how sat phones work for the military. You know, they bounce off the satellites. They don't hit cell towers, especially when in the middle of the Afghan desert, there's no cell towers.
What's the second your time I got to listen to a page? It was nothing.
Yeah, but I guess the stuff is supposed to be pretty cool. I've seen a couple of them come across the sky. It looks like a comet with a bunch of tails. So I'll tell you what, I have no reason to believe why we have red lights in this town. I mean, the light turned green in my favor, and five more cars went. It's just, like, unbelievable.
Yeah, I took a defensive driving course through work for that. And I've been hit on more than one occasion by people not paying attention. And I had one, I had the light. I turned eastbound off the southbound traffic. I was in the center left, of course. And I had a full, huge F-150 Econoline van, or E-150. And this guy blasted through the light, T-boned me, spun me 180 degrees, and my truck rolled back and hit somebody else. And all the guy could do was come out with a whole bottle of brake fluid that says, I don't know brakes. He was trying to beat the light, but he got some major trouble for that. And me, I went to the hospital to get checked out. Of course, minor injuries, but still, it was enough to mess me up. Cujo.
You know, I'm not too much for government control of anything. I'm probably one of those pretty far right-wing guys, but I do believe that cars should have a mandatory safety inspection every year. I mean, I just, that is just, there's some things out there that just don't belong out there, and I really do believe that, you know, there should be some certified mechanic that has to sign off on your car every year. That's kind of my government control thing, because, you know, I'm in the car business, the car repair business, actually, and some of the stuff I see out there, I just shake my head, you know, it just amazes me.
Oh, yeah. The strictest, it's just the emissions laws is in California. I had a 74 Nova when I was out there, but it was exempt because it was grandfathered in. But every year, my father renewed his 86 Caprice at the, you know, at the time it was brand new. He had to go get a smog test done, and he had to have the documentation in order to get his new tabs. I think New York is the strictest, though, with their permits.
Yeah, I'm not so much worried. I personally am not so much worried about the smog test thing. I think attrition fixes that, you know, just by design. These cars eventually, you know, car really, in the scheme of things, has a relative short shelf life for as much as we pay for them. And so I'm not really a big fan of that part, the smog test. I am a big fan of the safety test, and I don't think any states do that. So, you know, and then you got your handful of custom cars and, you know, things like that. But in the scheme of things, in my mind, it's relatively insignificant, you know. So, I mean, even if you look out and about nowadays, you know, I used to remember when they made a big deal out of the emission systems, because I was living on the west side of the state. Oh, the sky is falling. Everybody's got to pass emission systems, blah, blah, blah. And then it got like a week or two before the it was supposed to get implemented, and they dropped it. And then, you know, back then, you know, in the 90s, all those cars are off the road now. So why bother, you know? But safety tests, that's something immediate. I think that's my pet peeve. So, and of course, you know, somebody's driving a car that needs brake fluid, okay, no mechanic in his right mind is going to sign that off.
I agree. I think something that should be implemented in all the states is that your car goes through a safety inspection every year when you renew your tabs. You should go in, get the safety inspection by a qualified mechanic, and then the qualified mechanic signs off that this car is safe to be on the road. So there are some cars out there I see that sidewind, you know, it's just ridiculous. And you driving like me, I see it all over the place.
Oh, yeah. Some of them plated, too. I saw that. I think my cousin's got one of those. I think those side-by-sides is what you're talking about. So yeah, I think my cousin's got one of those. It's got a Michigan license plate on it, believe it or not. But even that. You know, I mean, I even look the other way in that, because that's kind of like a recreational vehicle. You know, it's not really a thing that's not driven all the time. you know, even that I would look the other way. But your everyday driver car, the one that you drive morning, noon, and night, you know, January to January, I think those cars should, you know, at least be safe. So, but other than that, our weather's holding up good, 55 degrees, and I'm driving into the sun, so I can't really complain.
No, and I have all sidewinders. I mean, you ever drive down the road and the vehicle in front of you, it's mostly either a truck or a van, and it almost looks like it's dogging. You know, you see the driver's front tire along with the driver's rear tire, but if you look at it straight from the back, it looks like the vehicle's traveling at an angle, like at a 80-degree angle because the frame is bent or something. And there's still on the road.
Yeah, NAKPP. Oh, yeah, the thrust angle. I know what you're talking about now. That's actually a dimension that gets fixed in an alignment. If the car is aligned properly, it's actually, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, thrust angle. That's big on semi-trucks, too, that angle. So, but yeah, something's bent or the spring shackle is broken or something of that nature. Yeah, that makes that thing drive crooked right away. And if you ever drive one like that, they're real difficult to drive. They're real busy. I mean, you got, you know, like a car is okay. You can let go, coast for a while, things like that. You can't do that with a car that has that bad thrust handle, and that's really tough.
Yeah, so I'm saying it's like the driver's front is on left dotted the left lane line, and then the passenger rear is almost touching the other line, and because it looks normal when you're staring at it, but yeah, I mean, we call it dog tracking, because that's how a dog walks, is kind of sideways, so it's got that weird angle when it drives. It drives me nuts. I'm like, how can a person normally drive that thing with that issue, or know that there's an issue? You know, I just don't understand it. I really don't. I mean, my neighbor next door, he's a backyard mechanic, but he grew up around racing. His dad used to race him on the raceway when he was a kid. He did all my, you know, all my work. I buy the parts, put them on there, and I did a bunch of front-end work with the sway bar links and upper and lower ball joints and all that other stuff. And he aligned it all. He did a self-alignment, and it was within like a half a degree of a straight. That's how close he got it, just by the way he did it. Old school. KKK joke.
I mean, KKK. Yeah, we sell alignment machines, alignment racks. That's part of the equipment that we sell. Realistically, you could almost sight it down. If you're good with a gun sight or something, you know, rifle scope or something like that, you could sight it down on the left and the right, you know, to the back. You could get it pretty darn close with just your eyeballs. Yeah, and then, you know, the camber part of it, you know, you can do that almost with a level. You know, so some of these cars nowadays, you know, especially the rears, they're using a lot of negative camber. So that makes it a little bit harder to calculate it, but it makes it a lot easier to drive, a lot more fun to drive. So, yeah, I know all that part of the world. So, we sell quite a few of them, actually.
Yeah, it was more of a, I mean, what is, I think he used a top line, and I don't know, sticks and string, let's put it that way, sticks and strings, and it was pretty dead on center. You know, like I said, it was off like a minute amount. But, of course, the place that I went to go get a full alignment on it says, oh, well, I don't know who did the bolts on the top or the adjustments are or whatever else, but he had them on backwards. They were on the wrong direction. He put them on for ease of removal and repair. And they're like, oh, no, that's wrong. So they charged me $250 total just for labor and then $150 for front-end alignment. That was the last time I went to that place. Because I sat on it, and like, it's like, oh, it should only take an hour. Yeah, he charged me $250 for 1 hour's worth of work. And I'm like, nope, I'm done. You're a big ripoff. Never go there again.
Yeah, no, I have a lot of money. That really is. But, you know, in defense of this person, I don't know who he is. I don't, you don't have to tell me. But those machines nowadays are over 50 freaking grand. I mean, so, you know, I understand it's, you know, that stuff is terrible expensive to get done, but, you know, that other part of it, but trying to get it back off one customer, you know, that's not fair either. But, yeah, they're 50 grand for the machine. I mean, stupid money. And I look at customers that buy these things, and I go, how are you ever going to get your money back? You know, it's just, you know, at $100 or $150 a pop or $200 a pop, I mean, plus your labor to do it, how do you ever get your money back? So some of that stuff, but so sounds like he found a guy to get it back from you.
Well, it was a national tire place, so they got more than one, you know, location. It was just this location that I went to, and, you know, he was kind of shady. Like, yeah, we can do it, but this, I mean, just gave me a line of BS, $125 an hour, and it was some 18-year-old kid in there, and okay, get these bolts off, and really, my truck sat there for like almost 2 hours, 3 hours, because he had to, quote unquote, take the bolts off and flip them around. My neighbor could have done the whole thing again in about an hour. So he was just making money. He was the manager of the shop, so he gets points for most money earned kind of thing. You know how that goes.
Oh, yeah. It's kind of like going to the doctor. You don't know if they're telling you the truth or not. You know, what's driving this? That always makes you wonder, what's driving this? Is this guy really telling me the truth? Is he really out after my best interest, or is he after his wallet? So, but, yeah, it's hard to find good ones. So, but, that's true. And same thing, you know, with those chains. They try to, all of them, they do try to eliminate or minimize, you know, with equipment and, you know, infrastructure as far as their equipment goes, so, you know, errors don't happen, but you never can do it all the time, you know. So you can do a really good wheel service alignment with a lot lesser equipment if the guy that's doing it really cares. You know, it's kind of like, you know, Sean was showing me how to calibrate a radio over here a month or two back, and the machines that they got just do it automatically. You just say go, and, you know, it just does this check, and, you know, that machine is very expensive, okay, but it also eliminates technician error, whereas, you know, somebody that wanted to take the time and do it the old school way with an oscilloscope and all that other fun stuff, you know, it's probably a little bit more accurate, but, you know, the technician has to be a lot smarter, and the technician has to take a lot more time to do it. So it's kind of a compromise, and a lot of those big box places try to make up for it with equipment.
Yeah, I get it. It's the price of tea in China that matters, plus. But we had to do another alignment on it and took it to another place. So my son had a half ton of 2,500. He had big tires on it, and he had the one that went there. And the manager said, yeah, we'll do this. It's taking 20 minutes and $100. I'm like, all right, do it, you know, because I got 22s on the truck. And it was in and out less than the time it took me to drink a cup of coffee.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, as long as you have the equipment. And sometimes it is. Sometimes it's just a matter of toll and go. So, Mr. Tom, I got to let you go. I am pulling in the subdivision. So, my final approach, and this can't be good. She's got the car backed in. So, that means something happened. So, I will chat with you later. KCATGO from NAKPP.
NAKPP, 73 to you. Hope everything goes well. KCK Joe off.
NAKPP. NAKPP Mobile.